So, Jimbo, we're back.
Let's go. Pipe Dreams Podcast, number 14. We're getting after it here. I'm pretty stoked. We've got an amazing guest here. But before we go into that, first I want to say a massive thank you to everybody at Daytona, Coda, everybody that's come up to us, myself and Corey, and said, we love the pod, keep going. It really helps us drive it home. We've got merchandise that we sell to help fund it because the production costs are pretty crazy. So go to Defile Odds, pick up and comp a t-shirt. But again, just a massive thank you to all the fans for coming through. And then, as always, Law Tigers. They have been with us. They're our first sponsor. They've been with us. They really believe in the project, and we're stoked to have them on board.
Yeah, Law Tigers are America's motorcycle lawyers. Motorcycle accident isn't something anybody ever plans for, but you should always be prepared in the event that you do end up in one. And you know, they help out anybody that needs any advice or whatever the case is, free, no charge. Make sure you get taken care of and back on the road and riding on two wheels again. So thanks to Law Tigers, and make sure you call 1-800-LAW-TIGERS in the event you have any issues. Yeah, it's been really cool the last few events I've been to. It seems like I think we have more fans now for the podcast than we do for actually racing.
So I know. Unfortunately, that's not the best, but it's blowing up. It's really doing well. We're really stoked. We know we want to do more and more, but it's tough with our schedule. So we're continuing. We've got a couple.
We're back on the road at least.
So exactly. And this, we're back in. We're back in the garage.
So, back in the tour bus. We'll be able to hopefully get at least one in a month, but we're shooting for two now that the season's going and we're rolling back at the track. It's easier to get some of these boys to come out and hang out with us, here trackside. We're actually, today's Thursday, so it's load-in day for Road Atlanta. And we've been super fortunate. Our next guest, like I said, is somebody I think that doesn't really get a lot of public attention, I guess, if you will, maybe. I mean, obviously his results have been really good, but I think as far as, you know, media and so on and so forth, I think he's kind of like the silent assassin. So nobody really knows anything about him. We were trying to do a deep dive last night.
I text Corey last night. I'm like, dude, this guy's a ghost. Richie Escalante, we're stoked to have you here. I think, like Corey said, kind of a ghost. I think maybe super quiet, but man, your results have been there. You've been racing a long time, and we're stoked to finally have you on the pod.
Yeah, thank you, Corey, James. It's a pleasure to be here in the Pine Ribs podcast, and yeah, happy.
When did you get into the U.S.? You were home training, obviously, till between the 200 and now?
Yes. So normally when you have more like 1 month between the races, I like to back home and keep training. I love cycling, also running. So that's I train in more with that. And yeah, I'm happy and ready to start a new season this weekend.
I got to say, man, like you've definitely started posting a little bit more on social media. I see the bicycle rides. I'm loving it. I see all the training you're doing.
Jimmy Armstrong over here. Armstrong's cousin.
It's so funny because my Spanish is so bad, but I send him Spanish words that probably are all wrong all the time. But I love that you're cycling, and looks like you got an awesome group out there. How are the roads out there for cycling?
It's good. Depends what part you live, but close to my home, I saw some mountains. So you climb in a lot, and it's good. It's safe. No so many cars in the road. So a little bit more safe. So
you're in Mexico, but obviously Mexico's a big country. Where exactly in Mexico? Like, which part of the country?
Yeah, so I live 40 minutes to the north to Mexico City.
Okay, so that's like closer to California side?
Not really. It's more on the middle.
Oh, okay.
Of the city of Mexico City. And is the state, the name is Hidalgo, and my downtown is Tizayuca.
Okay,
that's how you say that. I spent 30 days in Mexico City. I was on a film, and it's beautiful. It's crazy. It's, like, there's so many, like, crazy things. Like, it's beautiful. I really, really enjoyed Mexico City.
It's a monster. It is. City. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's big. Yeah. Yeah, it's big.
And it's like wow.
So many people in small.
Really? Like skyscrapers or no?
Yeah, yeah. There's like big buildings. There's big hotels. Like JW Marriott. Like big. Like there was helicopters coming in on these two hotels.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was like pretty gnarly when we were there. And the nightlife is insane. I couldn't believe how many people at night were just out. Like it was pretty insane there.
That's cool. How hard is it to go back and forth for you, like from the US to Mexico? You're used to it now?
Yeah, and so I'm lucky this year. I have the mission food support, so that's great for myself.
They push you on the private jet or no?
Sometimes. I crashed one time and the owner helped me to back home.
Really?
Mr. G?
Yeah.
Legend.
Private fly. So
wow.
It's good. And now, after 8 years coming to America, finally I have my visa work.
Okay.
So I'm really happy about that. And now it's easy back home, come back, and that's much better for me.
I think a lot of people don't understand how difficult that part of it is. You know, like they think you just come to race and you race and like you don't have to worry about so much else, but there's a lot more that goes into it with the travel and the visa stuff. I mean, we know James's girlfriend is like stuck in the Netherlands right now waiting to get her I guess her visa, right? That's what she's waiting for.
Yeah, work visa, same.
Same thing. So it's difficult and every race weekend I'm more nervous to fly Wednesday and what happened in when entry to the US. So now I'm more relaxing and take some pressure off, you know.
How are you doing it before? You were just saying you're going on vacation.
Just tourist visa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regular.
And like it's not bad like the first 180 days, but once you go past that 180 days, they start asking quite a bit of questions about what are you doing here? What's going on? And there's no rule anymore. Like you can go past 180 days, but it's the border, it's at the discretion of the border patrol. And if you get a border patrol that's got a hair up his ass and has, you know, just got a bad day, man, it's really difficult. Like Nikki got pulled into one of those big rooms. They're like hammering her questions, this, that, and the other. And it's like, man, she's legit, you know? Mm. And I couldn't really imagine when I went to Europe and did the England thing, it was my first year I did the same thing, like kind of a tourist visa on a sponsorship deal. And after the third time they were like, how much money do you have? Who's paying for this? Why are you here? Like you can't just be coming over here to hang out. Like you must be doing something more. Like I was like shaking. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Let me in.
It's difficult. So many questions and but for me the most important, I always back home. So that helps a lot.
Mm. You prefer to go home?
For the moment, yes.
Yeah. And you live by yourself?
Yes. Right now, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes with my girlfriend. Yeah. But.
Mm. No, she's still in college, yeah? Or she graduate?
Yes.
Yeah. What is she going to school for?
So he's doing nutrition.
Mm.
And then when the COVID come in, he make the decision to change. So now it's something like public, like merchandising. Something like, what's the, it's something for like social media and stuff like that.
Like marketing. Like marketing. Public,
marketing. Yeah, public, marketing. Yeah, marketing. That's it.
Perfect. Yeah. That's awesome.
So
it's good for you.
Yeah.
So. Help you come out.
So we did obviously, like I said, we were trying to learn more about you.
Yes.
We were teammates, so I know a lot for the most part, but also like, you know, just like your resume and how you started and all that stuff. And there's really not a lot of information, which is kind of difficult. And I even like I was googling like Mexican Google. Like you can like go and pick which regions you want to like search for.
Yeah, but you understand Spanish a little bit more than
not really.
Not really.
Un poquito.
Chat poppy.
But it's very difficult to find a lot of information. Is the media like in Mexico, do they cover American road racing a lot or not so much?
Well, now with ESPN, Latin American, with the Pietri family,
mm-hmm.
now is on live every race weekend. So that's
gotta be
a lot.
Massive.
That's starting in 21
mm.
when I have the battle with Sean. So the owners of this project is Argentina and Mexican.
Okay.
So it's why I start to push into ESPN come to watch the races. So now it's much better, but still I need, you know, more.
Yeah,
more support. It's not a lot.
So is that like a package you have to get in Mexico, or is that like on TV?
That's Star Plus. You need to
have a package.
Have the package for the Star Plus, and then you watch the race.
So it's pretty much like a package here. So it's just it's more how do we, you know, bubble it out or grow it in Mexico? Okay.
With I guess how you have obviously soccer. I would imagine is like the biggest in Mexico. Is the biggest sport, right?
Football, soccer.
Yeah. Like how far down is motorcycle racing? Like in the U.S., obviously, it's like the bottom, you know.
No, it's like 99%.
It's the same.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. You always think, I guess, just because it seems like the culture of Mexico, like, is there's a lot of scooters and stuff, right? It's more popular.
Yeah, I think yes, but now with the F1, it's crazy, you know, with the Netflix series and everything, and Checo Perez, the representative of Mexico in F1. Now more people like the races, so
yeah, it helps everyone a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think
it seems like good. If they see it, they love it. Like like you said, there's a lot of transportation on two wheels over there, and it's more about getting people. I would assume though, if there is races over there, it's probably pretty packed. Like there's got to be a lot of people that would like to go.
Did they do an F1 race last year?
Yeah,
in Mexico City, right?
Dude, it was massive.
Yeah. I watched it.
You did?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's crazy. You went?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really good.
Like
really
VIP
good.
With Mission?
No. This time normal, regular ticket. But I enjoy a little bit the different part, you know? I think in the paddock is you saw the riders and the teams, but you never know what happened outside, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just funny to be different and...
Yeah.
It's crazy weekend, and it's a great show, you know.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. How many people went to that race?
Dude, it was like over 100,000.
Yeah,
like 150,000 or something. It was. I remember seeing pictures, and it was packed. Like every grandstand rammed, outside rammed. Like it was packed.
Yeah. Mexico
and
City,
Checo
the
is like
is,
they're like. Dude, he is
full
like,
support.
He's
and
like,
then crashing the Tron 1.
I know,
first lap. Yeah, I remember.
They just like hovered him out of there.
Yeah. So the Mexico track, you have the stadium.
Yeah.
That's the Foro Sol name. Then when finish the race, you can walk to there, and then DJs start
concert,
like a party,
concert and big parties. So
is that a street circuit?
No.
No,
it's a circuit.
Regular.
But it's like...
But you guys don't ride there.
No. The problem is it's in the middle of Mexico City. So you don't have more space to maybe change a couple corners for more safety for the bikes.
So it is a street. Like it goes in through the street?
No, not really. It's a track, full
but
track.
But it's inside the city.
It's insane.
That's
in
insane.
City. So you want to go like more GP, you need to change a couple corners for more safety.
The wall?
And no more space. So why maybe more
I know
they've been not looking for.
Yeah, I think they tried or they were entertaining it.
Well, I feel like it would be huge just because, I don't know, the Mexican people seem very passionate about, you know, like even like Checo, it's like their whole world, you know?
I think even if you brought Moto America, it would be a massive event just because they don't have it. And it would be something that would be crazy to have somebody who's Mexican in the series for them to support and to then... have technically our championship international would be nuts. Like if that was ever to happen.
I remember in the past years IndyCar doing something like that. Race the American series, but one race is in Mexico.
Like an exhibition or something a little bit.
It was like BSB going to Assen. Mm. Like they go for one round, they go over there and it's like now we're international.
Yeah. We should go over there, it'd be sick.
Like that in Canada would be crazy.
But
like,
there's no really tracks we could race at. No.
Yeah. Mexico City is
pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm. So
street race.
With that being said, you're going to be 30, 29 or 30 on Monday?
29.
29 on Monday.
Ooh, you're close to dirty 30.
Yeah, close. No more 20s.
But you started riding on small bikes when you were how old? In 2004?
Yeah, I started in 2004.
Which was what, like
PW80?
Really?
The Yamaha small one bike. That's my first bike.
So like motocross?
No, it's motocross bike, but with road racing tires. So really? It's like super mini supermoto.
One gear, right? PW80. Three gears. Yeah. I feel like
boom. Yeah, three.
Three up, dude.
That's it. Those things are the best.
Yeah.
Probably the best pit bike.
That's my first bike and the first time I'm starting. Yeah. Always. So I'm racing 20 years.
Yeah.
Always road racing.
Okay.
Wow.
Never, nothing else.
No.
Have you dabbled in the dirt?
Yeah. I sometimes motocross, sometimes supermoto, but not really. I'm not good. Honestly,
really,
really. Well, the supermoto a little bit more. I like the sliding.
Like the slide.
But motocross, difficult to jump double.
It's okay. We're all right. We're in the same zone. We're in the same boat.
I don't even try, but yeah. So you started in 2004, but your dad had been racing for a long time, and then your brother raced as well. You have an older brother, Pablo Jr. Right?
My brother also raced before. My dad also too, starting in the 90s and raced a couple years in Mexico, and also come to America to race.
Oh, Pablo.
Yeah, my dad.
Really?
Daytona in 250, two stroke.
Wow. What year was that?
Maybe 93, 94, 96. Yeah.
So that was like against like Roland Sands, no? Was that when he was on 250s?
I think Oliver Jack.
Yeah. I remember his stuff was nice.
Was Pablo good?
I think finished maybe 16, 17. So now my crew chief, Frank Haragaki, he raced also in that years. He find a list.
Yeah.
I think my dad finished 15 and Frank finished 17.
So they beat him.
That's awesome.
It's funny, you know, to know my dad racing with my crew chief. So
That's great. So funny. I didn't know Pablo raced.
And then also 600 with Poncho Rangel team.
Oh, really?
Maybe 99s, 98. A couple races. Yeah. And in that moment, in Mexico City, Latin American is a Latin American championship.
Okay.
So you race in like Mexico City, Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, and Argentina, some different countries. That's if you win, is you a Latin American champion.
And so he won.
My dad won three times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And did you come up those ranks and go and do those races in Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia as well? Or was it different when you were coming up?
No, me just only Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, only Mexico.
They don't do that anymore, right?
No more.
Oh, yeah,
that's
kind
of sad.
Sometimes, though. Yes, but it's only one race. Okay, what's the next race? Let's see, Colombia. And then you go to Colombia. Race Saturday, race Sunday, you won both races, you're Latin American champion.
Yeah.
They should bring it back because there's some good, there's some other tracks in South America that are pretty good, right?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So.
Do you remember like your dad? Did you go to the races with your dad when you were growing up?
Not really. No,
really?
I'm a little bit crazy kid. So my dad take me to the races when I'm starting racing.
Okay.
So in 2004. Before that. No, Richie. It's
really?
So many problems.
Why are you so crazy?
I just take my bicycle and do crazy stuff, and my dad no concentrate.
Yeah.
So he say, just stay at home. I go racing, and then...
Yeah. And then your brother, how old is your brother?
36.
36. So he started, obviously, before you?
Before, yes. When I'm starting the bikes, before... 2003, my brother raced go-karts.
Okay.
You know, because in Mexico, you have a little bit more support and more future if you race cars. So my dad say, okay, the bikes, no money, no support, no, it's difficult. Why not try the cars?
Yeah.
And it's why my brother raced maybe 3 or 4 years go-kart. And then both changed two bikes.
That's funny.
In the same time, 2004.
Ah, okay, so you actually raced against your brother a little bit.
Yes, a little bit.
Mm.
Maybe in the before come to America, I raced with my brother.
Now, how hard is it to make that bridge from Mexico to America? I mean, obviously, it's pretty hard. We only have you and a few other Spanish people racing here. I mean, how hard was that transition?
The transition is hard. But before talking maybe 2008, The first time I come here is when the Rookies Cup start.
Mm.
I know you remember your first, Corey, your first test on the Rookies Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe in February 2008 at Laguna Seca.
Mm-hmm.
I know you remember I come in with the Metra kit, like the selection bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Cam Bovier come to ride with me. You remember that or not really?
Not really, not so much, no.
So Mexico, Red Bull Mexico, pushing to me have a special selection for race to try to race in 2008 the Rookies Cup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So when everybody have new bikes, new suits, helmets, everything at Laguna, I go to ride the Metra kit, the selection bike. And then I do the test. And when finish the first Rookies Cup test, I say, okay, you, it's possible you race this season. And then he say, okay, this is 13 to 16. I remember 13 years old to 16. And in that point, it's February. So in April, I do 13. I'm 12. So Red Bull say no. You need to have 13. So no worry. Next election, you already there. You need to go to Barber in 2008 in October.
Yeah.
And then
they cancel.
No, then go to the selection.
They did this test. They did the selection, but then they canceled it.
After then cancel after the selection. No. Already signed the contract and everything.
No.
That's the first time I have the opportunity to come to the US.
Okay.
That's the first school, like.
So what was that like doing a test? Because you said you did it with Cameron. He towed you around? Yeah,
it's funny. It's like just two Metra kits, the KTMs 1 to 5, like maybe 20 bikes, and just Cam and me riding maybe 10 laps around Laguna. He also raced in Europe, the Rookies Cup in Europe.
Yeah, the academy.
And then, yeah, just riding. And Red Bull say, okay, you good, not bad. Yeah. But you're 12 years old, so sorry.
Wow.
Next year.
How crazy is that? And then
maybe Cam remember. I don't know. Yeah, I have a couple pictures, but I need to find the pictures.
Yeah, please send them to us. Yeah, that would be awesome to post. And that would be crazy if he remembers. And then how crazy is it now 20 or so years later, you and Cameron at the top of Moto America Superbikes. That's full circle. That's really cool.
Did you try to ever go to do the European?
Yeah, so after that, my brother raced in the Spanish Championship in 2008. So my dad in Valencia looked the Cuna de Campeones, the 1-5 Bancaja Championship.
Yep.
That's a great school also. And my dad said, oh, how much is for race here and everything? And then when canceled the Rookies Cup, my dad said, okay, let's try Europe. Why not? Honestly, in that moment, I say, okay, I want to race and I want to be our champion. Yeah. So always is the mentality when you're young, you know?
Of course.
And I say, okay, let's go to Europe. And I raced 2009 and 2008. Mm. 9 and 10, sorry. School.
Did you try to do the Red Bull MotoGP Cup?
I tried one time.
You did the selection? Yeah,
the selection. Mm. And in that moment, Jorge Martin is there. A couple more GP riders and
it's tough.
No, I'm training hard to the selection, but in the last moment, the Red Bull say no, it's in Aragon, the track, Spanish, the big one.
Yeah.
And then in the last moment, karting. So I never ride small tracks, always like regular track, maybe like little Talladega.
Yeah.
That's the small one track I ride on my career.
Yeah.
And then when I go to the karting, it's crazy the Spanish riders riding.
That's what they grew up on, right?
Yeah. So it's crazy so fast on the karting track.
Getting the gist.
And honestly, I don't feel good. And
it's tough.
Maybe 10 seconds in one karting to maybe Martin lap time. I remember.
Yeah. They probably all rode there because they're all from Spain.
That's like when I went to the Rebel Rookies Cup, the first ever selection in Valencia. Dude, we showed up there, and I'm a dirt tracker. I show up there, and there's it's a track day before. All these Spanish kids. And
practicing for the tryout.
Practicing for the tryout. I roll out, and I'm like, they're like, if you're good in one, a couple sections, we're just looking at potential. No, they weren't. They were looking at lap times, man. And that was a rude awakening. Yeah, they're just these kids, man. Like these absolute kids were just absolutely sending it on these 1-2-5s. And that was it was a rude awakening.
It's impressive, you know. Yeah. Me, I have the same feeling when I come to Europe for the first time. When I saw the first laps, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's scary because you're like, you don't know.
Yeah, you listen the bike almost on the corner and
you get
this is something different, you know? Because you coming from like myself, I coming from Mexico, I won in Mexico every category, like the small one, the medium, the 1 to 5, everything. And then when I saw the
you expected to come over and be pretty good.
Yeah, why not? It's maybe crazy. Try to win, and then you look, just looking at you destroy. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I was in this same boat as you. I literally, they came by going into turn one, and like you get 6 laps. Like, that's
it. For the tryout?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really, I remember doing the one in Barber, but I don't remember.
No, the one in Spain, dude, 6 laps. They had all the Americans go out at once. Like, you didn't mix. It was only American, Spain. Like, everybody was in their own country and did their own country, went out together.
Was there other Mexicans that went with you?
I think so, maybe, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. But maybe 2 or 3, no more. But I think my group is Spanish. The Spanish riders.
Okay,
you know, like Latin, same Spanish.
Man, it
which
was
isn't
difficult.
Really fair at all. Just be like the American with, with the Mexican. Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, it is interesting. You see how many people from, especially the MotoGP Rookies Cup, who are at the top now.
Yeah,
right, Miguel Oliveira.
They have Martin. The program, man, and that it's crazy. What's crazy is the selection of crop. Right, you get like 1 or 2 that come out in between the years, but then you have like these big crops, like Marquez is almost stuck in the middle, right? He came in early and he's now in the middle, and then you have all these kids like Bezzecchi, Martin, Miguel, like that are just stuck there, right? Yeah. Fabio, they're all in that kind of crop, and now it's like all these kids underneath are getting stuck, right? So it's insane to see, and you get like Pedro is the one guy to push through.
Yeah,
you
know, when I race the Spanish school, the Cuna de Campeones, Franco Morbidelli is winning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jorge Navarro, the Brazilian, Eric Granado. So the level is very high.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you did, and then you went overseas, and then is that part of the CEV? Or is it different?
It's different. Okay. It's different, yeah. Bancaja is just a school. At Valencia, racing also at Montmeló and different Spanish tracks.
Okay.
And then after that, I jumped to Moto2 with Team Laglis. I think Laglis is one of the best teams in Spain.
Yeah.
And raced Moto2, the Spanish championship, for the first time, 2012.
On a 600?
Moto2. CBR. 600 engine.
The CBR.
CBR on that.
Yeah. What was that like? Pretty big jump? Or was it? Did you feel more comfortable going to the 4-stroke than the 2-stroke or no?
I feel more comfortable when I jump to 4-stroke, and also big bike.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I not feel really good on the small bike.
Mm-hmm.
So when I jump finally for the 600, I'm starting to feel more level and better feeling.
Yeah. When you got on the Moto2 bike, like, what was your best result?
Finish 8th in eighth. Aragon. Yeah.
Wow.
Not bad.
Crazy. Yeah. Aragon.
Jordi Torres is the champion.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
so
then he jumped
1.5, 2 seconds. Not so close, not bad.
Yeah.
But in that moment, using Michelin tires, so really difficult tires. Maybe I crashed in 2012 20 times in 1 year.
Holy smokes!
And then you pay every time when you crash. You know, I pay for race in So it's crazy.
Wow!
And so the only option was to continue paying if you wanted to stay.
Yes. And so it's why I say. Yeah. It's impossible. Yeah.
Wow.
So. Wow.
Was there any other opportunities that came up to stay?
Not really. No. Nothing. No. The team maybe give me a better price to continue with him to race for 2013, but it's no.
Yeah.
Not, is it no is it something where they the better you are in the championship, the better the price, so that they can sell more? Is that kind of
Yeah. I think I'm improve my results every race weekend. So when I finish the season, say, okay, you have the option to continue with us, but maybe not pay 100, maybe pay 80,000.
Yeah, still is kind of
It's like
it makes you wonder
a lot of money.
Like now, I mean, that was then. That was 10 years ago. Like it's only gotten worse. You know?
Bro, it's like, I hear it's like 250,000.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're good, it's like 100. Yeah. Like, if you're like on the podium, it's like 100.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. They're like asking about like World Supersport, because World Supersport's like the same, if not maybe worse.
It's crazy.
There's like one guy per team that's maybe paying a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody else is paying a lot.
Yeah.
And then
you have like the three guys that are like maybe, you know, through the Yamaha program.
Yeah.
You know, but there's sponsors like shelling out money.
Did you have help back then, or that was just on Pablo?
No, I have family support for sure, but I have a couple people love the races, and it's why I make the budget to go there.
That's awesome.
I always wondered, I mean, because throughout the world, you're pretty much the number one Mexican, right? Like,
yeah.
Is there anybody else that races from Mexico, like outside of, I know obviously not in Moto America, but.
Not really. Yeah. The level is good. A couple riders is going fast, but never have the opportunity to come or never try to come to more America, you know? When back in 2013-14 to Mexico, I won the Super Sport Championship.
Mm.
That's the high level, the top class.
Mm.
And it's why after that, my dad and my brother say, why not try to do the American dream?
Mm.
So in that moment is why I come into more America.
Yeah.
And you came in 2014.
I come one race.
Which race?
New Jersey.
Okay.
The final race.
Sixth?
I think finished sixth, maybe the first race.
Yeah.
And then crash on Sunday, maybe raining. I don't like the rain, so yeah.
Okay.
That was in Supersport.
Supersport. Yeah, that's Supersport. I think the Supersport.
That was the AMA, not Moto America.
Sport bike.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that was the one we won.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, so that's a good class to come into. And that's not a bad finish, like just coming to New Jersey. Yeah. New Jersey's
pretty. I raced also Daytona in that year.
Holy.
Yeah. Corey won the world races.
Yeah.
Big year.
Back in the day. The good old days.
The good old
2014.
Yeah.
And then 15 became Moto America, right?
Yeah.
So then, but you stayed for 2015. How did you, because you guys didn't like load up a trailer and drive across the border and come to race in New Jersey, you guys had to find a team, right, to come and race for?
Yeah. So in 2015, my dad have a new van, new R6 bike. A little bit support with Graves in that moment, asking for, hey, can you maybe help with the computer or suspension or engine? Say yes, with good price, honestly. And then my brother looking for more money and everything. So every time, every race weekend before, okay, how much money? Okay, the bike is good, the van, everything, let's go.
And so you guys drove?
Yeah.
From Mexico?
From Mexico.
Whoa.
To Atlanta, that's the first race.
And this is 2015.
That's 2015.
Wow.
And I finished second behind Joe Roberts.
Crazy.
So that's
good.
It's good.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, I think rain. I finished fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
Still good.
So my dad said, okay.
We go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Try to go
at that time,
full season.
At that time, Joe was racing for M4, right? In 2015 or Mean?
Mean.
Which was a big team.
Big team.
Yeah. That and they had full Graves bikes.
Yellow bikes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they had full Graves, though.
Yeah. Graves bikes.
Yeah. Because he smoked. He was fast.
He was really fast. Yeah.
Very fast. Yeah.
And you showed up in your van.
Yeah.
From Mexico.
My dad said, okay, let's try to finish the season.
Yeah. So. No, that's pretty
amazing.
And
that was 2015 was right in that weird kind of time frame where road racing in America was good, but it wasn't.
It was
kind of great.
Transition,
yeah.
It was a transition period.
Transition period. So, you know, maybe there wasn't a lot of teams out there, right? So you kind of had to do.
Yeah, I remember also. And the super bike is more like super stock bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
a difficult year.
Yeah, difficult year. So, how many races did you do then in 2015?
Full season.
Okay.
So maybe a couple podiums.
Yeah.
And I won BIR.
Mm.
My first Moto America win. That's on race two.
Yeah. And so that year, did you see any of the tracks beforehand?
No.
Wow.
Only Barber.
That's impressive.
And Laguna.
That's impressive.
Laguna for Rookies Cup test, special test, and yeah. Barber for the selection.
And you had to compete against Joe the whole year.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so Atlanta first time, VAR, Road America.
And you beat him because you won, right? You beat him
one time. Yeah. He crashed on turn two in VAR with high side, and then I won the race.
Nice. What's your favorite track for?
Road America.
A lot of people say that.
It's the best.
HD's backyard.
VIR is also good, but no more. And
I know. It's a shame.
Big Kahuna days.
It's a shame. How much money do you think? And maybe you don't remember, but how much money did that take, like, for you guys to make the decision to say, okay, we can go?
10,000.
That's all you needed was you said, okay, if we have 10,000
for Monday to Monday, you know, full week.
Wow.
If have like 7,000 or 6,000, I say maybe no.
Wow.
Yeah, and because then I need to pay, you know, tires, hotel, and also give some money to Graves for good computer, good suspension.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's the most expensive part, you know.
For sure. And your brother at that point obviously wasn't racing, and he started to kind of become your manager.
Yeah, that's the moment when my brother make the decision to finish his career. He broke his right hand. So in the risk, something happened here. So he wants to take some bumps off, like no more.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, never have the same feeling.
Wow.
And he make the decision to retire.
And then so just help you.
For sure, you retire.
Mm. Okay.
And then jump, make the decision to, okay, now support Richie to find sponsors and try to.
How like comparatively the level between you and your brother?
Similar in that moment. Similar.
Wow.
Yeah, very similar.
Wow.
Yeah, my brother is really, really fast also too.
Does that help you? Did that help you then, that when he stopped racing, to have
to have, you know, some guys to just support you and give you, okay, you need to do this on the stuff.
Did Pablo, your dad, did he have a lot of help, like with riding? Did he help you a lot to like learn or work on certain things from his experience?
Also too, yes. Also, my dad likes the mechanic, so that's, to me, is really good. You know, because I'm not spend money for mechanics. My dad doing suspension, engine, tires, service. You know, change the clutch, the brakes, so everything. So that's, for me, I think helps a lot during my career, especially when I train in every week on my 600 at home. I don't need to have a mechanic, so my dad come with me and
prepare everything. Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah,
and it's so funny, like, because I mean, I only know Pablo like the last 5 years, maybe 4 years, but I wouldn't expect that to be Pablo. I wouldn't even think Pablo raced, because you see him now, like his big glasses, and he looks like an artist, you know.
My dad is super funny.
He's funny. He's the best.
So did you have any sort of formal training, like growing up? Did you go to any schools, or was it just all pure talent and your dad helping you? Like, is there any?
Yeah, this is more dad, brother, and me pushing, you know?
Wow. So this is just all just pounding laps.
Yeah, my first really coaching, and like some rider is with me or tell me things to make better, is Josh Hayes. Right now.
Wow. Okay.
But before that, just my dad, my brother, and for sure you're learning things, you know, during the races. You just, and
all talent, just hammering laps, just got you. Wow, that's impressive. And you know, during that time frame, did you speak English then?
No.
So how hard was that, being in the championship, not really speaking English in 2015, 16, like, what was that like? How hard?
You know, I go to the school and always have English on my school. Like, very kid, young, to university, maybe, to high school.
Yep.
And for some reason, I never speak English.
But you took the classes or no?
Yeah.
You took English class, but you never learned.
Yeah, but never. No. So my first More America podium in Atlanta in 2015, my interview is in Spanish.
But can you understand?
I understand a little. Okay. But 15, I think maybe airport, same days.
Yeah.
Maybe right now. my first interview, first podium in Spanish. So. Yeah. And then, cool, of course, I'm start learning.
Yeah.
Dude, obviously.
But it's difficult. It's difficult when your language is not.
Yeah. So, like, just even like the riders meetings, the, you know, everything's just a little bit different. The, you know, like, you know, racing itself is the same, flags and whatnot, but just the communication, and it's got to be pretty tough. Did your dad speak fluent English?
No.
You never spoke to Pablo now?
Not really. So like, nobody.
He can say like five things.
My brother speak really good.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's.
Back then he spoke really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
He learning in the school.
Yeah. He paid attention.
That's insane.
But yeah, it's difficult. You know, before I go to the meetings and no understand nothing.
just hang out.
Just sign the paper and let's go. Yeah. And now I'm understand a little bit more. Sometimes I still miss something.
I know.
With the crew, it also is difficult, you know. Maybe right now in the paddock is good.
Yeah.
Good understand.
Yeah.
But then sometimes immediately when I go to dinner with my crew, that's more difficult, you know,
everybody starts talking
for, you know, normal life, and then sometimes I don't understand.
Do you feel like that prevented you at certain points as you were growing up, like, or even, you know, when you came to America, do you think that like held you back from opportunities, not being able to
maybe? Yes, a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure. Yes. Yeah,
and because
I really want to understand a little bit more, you know, speak a little bit better, and
yeah,
I think maybe helps. So I'm keep working to learning more, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's important for the sponsor, especially the pronunciation for the sponsor. Sometimes I remember when I raced in 18-19 with the Russian team. Sometimes the name is difficult.
Yeah,
and I not saying the same. Was that good? I not say the name in the correct way.
The way it's supposed to be said, yeah.
And this team, this guy is not really happy, you know?
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, so, what was the team?
That's Quicksilver, Lexin, Hudson motorcycle or something.
Okay, I remember that.
Do you feel like there was anything, like any time you ever got like taken advantage of because you couldn't understand the situation, you know, when you were like working with a company or with people for support and stuff like that?
Maybe, but my brother is with me, so
he took care of it mostly.
Yes.
Yeah. I could imagine. I mean, it's even, you know, I guess
every time when I make you know, something like contract, I need my brother for sure.
Yeah.
So just keep diving into this. When we go back into the box with the team, like especially riding a super bike, maybe a little fast forward here, but how? I'm obviously you speak English. And how hard is that communication trying to... Was it better when Tony was there? Like, was it easier to communicate having somebody else who spoke the language and to help speak with the crew chief, you know, at a being new? I know now you've been with Frank now, you know, so you probably understands more. But, you know, Superbike's pretty crazy with electronics and things of that nature. How hard was it to learn the right terminology in English and to be able to get it across? Because maybe something you're like, I can't say it because I don't know,
yes, it's difficult, especially the superbike, so many things to try, and everything, you can change everything. Honestly, I'm not a rider to feel too much the bike, you know. It's really difficult to say I need this to go fast, or sometimes I try two parts and I feel the same thing with it. So like expensive park to regular part, and I try both, and what's the best?
I don't know.
Why? This is better, you know? So I just trust my team and believe, give me the, I just try to say my feelings, but I believe my team understand maybe what I need to go fast. But between like Tony, it's different, you know. Tony separate the like the team. Okay, this is my crew chief, this is my bike, and this is my job.
Yeah, you're separate.
Okay.
More difficult to now with Patch is easier. Okay, now okay, I try this. You want to try? Yes, let's try, and then
more of a team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. I thought it would definitely. I think a lot of people and then maybe
talking with Tony in the lounge. Maybe in Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony, what are you doing? Or, why did you try this? And but also Tony, different style.
Yeah, very different.
And yeah, it's a little bit crazy in the session. So yeah. No, I try sometimes Tony's bike and I don't like it, and Tony try my bike and I don't like it.
So yeah, so it's tough.
Different ways.
Yeah.
With Patch, it's almost same bikes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially because you probably have some more experience than him, right? So he's kind of learning from you more so.
But always, for sure, I miss something, some feeling on the bike, I think, for no 100% understanding between my crew, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be, this is a weird question, but do you think it would be easier to have a Spanish-speaking crew chief? Like, to be able to have a bilingual crew chief?
Maybe, a little bit.
Have you ever had a Spanish crew besides for your family?
No.
Oh, interesting. No. It would be interesting to know if there's things you could say in Spanish that you maybe don't, you know, because you already have it. You know what you want to say. But
you need to have a good crew chief to speak very good English
able to communicate that.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you feel like as you've gotten better at English, it's made your experience here easier or like more positive,
more I fun.
Guess. Yes.
Yeah. It's gotta be so interesting. Cause I think of it like being able to like see more as you learn more English, you know, like you go from like not being able to see anything cause you can't communicate or speak. And then like slowly as you progress and get better, like it's gotta be an interesting feeling to almost like
feel
like, yeah,
you can feel the emotion around you. I mean, like, the conversations I know, like, I mean, when I go to Europe, it's like I'm in a cafeteria. I could be in the middle of a cafe and just not understand anything that's going on. But I see the smiles. I can feel the energy. But I'm just like,
you don't know.
Café con leche. Like, okay. Like I don't know anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, I can imagine. That's crazy. I think like when we were teammates, it was nice because, you know, you still were like, you were working really hard to learn a lot, but you weren't so comfortable to speak to a lot of people still. So you know, we were friends and close, but you were very quiet still. And like the last couple of years, it seems like you're more public, you know, more comfortable to go out.
For sure. Now I come to the paddock and say, this is my second home, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's gotta feel good. How much does, you know, having your family still around play into that? Obviously, your brother doesn't come to so many of the races anymore, right?
No.
Just Pablo comes to.
Yeah, my dad maybe come in 9 races, maybe come 7.
Yeah.
So this weekend, just me.
Just you.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many times have you come to the track by yourself?
Maybe 2 or 3 times every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're used to it.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then, you know, riding for, obviously, M4, they're a big team, so they're like, and you've been with them for
3 years.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a family now, or they're pretty good?
Yeah, I feel good with John and Chris, working with the team again, and also with my crew, same crew, same crew chief, same data, same mechanic, so now.
Yeah.
It's easy, you just come in.
Good teammate, honestly. I have a good relationship with Patch and more riders, no, like Tyler, Tip Hops, Rossi Moore.
Yeah.
So I think this year 6 riders.
It's a lot.
In the launch. So will be difficult.
Yeah.
I need to to clean my locker and not touch my things. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize too is you're very particular.
Have always try to do the same thing every day.
Yeah. And you like to
something
be very clean.
Missing like this for me is like this concentrate. It's crazy, like, why I...
Is it OCD or is it...
Do you know what OCD means?
No.
Like, it's called obsessive compulsive disorder. So it's like everything, like you said, like... I know, you know, from staying with you, that's cool. That's what it is.
I try to clean everything. always everything. Yeah. I remember one time you're looking for your...
Yeah.
For this.
My whoop?
My whoop,
yeah.
But not the whoop, the...
The strap.
And then I think I take it to the trash. And Corey coming, I'm looking for my new So I don't say nothing, but I think I remember I like, okay, trash. Sorry, puppy. Sorry.
Yeah, that is so funny, dude.
Yeah, but if it's staying
2 years,
you,
2 years ago. So
it's okay. I got another one. But I remember staying in the hotel, you clean the shower before we take a shower.
Yeah, know? Yeah, stuff like that. But
yeah, that's cool. When you obviously go back a little bit, but 2015, 2016, you decided to obviously stay in America. 2017, 2018 were pretty difficult.
Yeah. Well, 16, Humberto Vaca, finally, that's one of my best sponsors. So it's why I continue to come.
Yeah.
And the plan is try to win the championship in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the season start, I broke my leg. Right. My first big fracture. Tibia and Pyrene.
Mm-hmm.
And everything changed that year. So when I'm recovery and everything.
Where was that at?
16.
Oh, 16.
Same class, Super Stock, okay. More America, with HB Racing team. Mm-hmm. And then Bryce Prince make a big step that year. And I finish again sub-champion. Same to 15. So mm-hmm. both years, 15-16, sub-champion, Super Stock class. A couple wins.
But second. Yeah.
And then 17, my year off.
Because?
So in that point, Humberto say, I don't have the money to jump to Super Sport. Sorry, Richie. And I don't find a good team. I'm going to start talking with John Unrich in that moment, asking for more, of course, money to raise. Not crazy money, but money. And in that moment, I don't have the sponsor, Humberto no more. And my brother also have a kid.
Mm.
So my brother say, okay, now I need to
focus on
myself, on my family. And I decide to stop racing. But in that moment, I say, okay, no more. Retire.
Really?
That's the plan.
Wow.
17. Then I know my this when I'm that year I'm start with my girlfriend relationship, so in one personal part life is good, but in the sporting really bad. Yeah. I just no more training, yeah, crazy difficult year.
Did you get depressed?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Just yeah. My girlfriend helps for yeah, sure, but
yeah. You know, say, every day you just hammering for one goal and then.
No more. That's it.
What did you do?
Nothing. That year, nothing.
Like,
just enjoy.
Did you work or no?
Not really. It's just nothing. Just enjoy with my girlfriend the weekends, and then that's it. No training, no bikes, nothing.
Did you like party or?
Not really. No. I never like okay. a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiesta?
But sometimes, but not really. Not like, okay, I go to the party every weekend. But
yeah.
For sure, one time each month.
A disco.
What is there to do around you? Like what if you weren't racing or even then you decided, okay, 2017, that's it. What would that have looked like? Like what was your plan?
Well, my is just okay, no more. Just like.
But like, were you going to go to college and learn a new trade or were you going to work for your family or like what was your other maybe, your plan B?
Maybe working with the family, the yeah. business family, or maybe finish the school. Okay, I know finish the university, just the college and the high school. So I say, okay, maybe try to finish. But everything you say, okay, I'm starting this, I'm starting work, and nothing happened. Then pass 1 year, full year, and no, I not do nothing.
At what time? Your family has a family business?
Yes. That's the transportation, the public buses.
Oh, wow. Like
Mexico City to Pachuca City. So I stop in the small downtowns.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's for 4 years.
They own
that's my grandfather's business.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And they own the buses or they like maintain them?
Both. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's similar to the bike, you know? You need to check the tires, the brakes, the service. So
you could have gone into
Is it a big, like a big business? Like how many people...
It's a competitive business also too.
Okay.
More people doing the same jobs and the same work. So it's difficult. But it's big. It's big. Yeah.
That's cool. So that's something. But otherwise.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe marry with my girlfriend. That's my big plan. Or kids. Or yeah. Or finish the school. Or
yeah.
Do something new.
So just kind of just. Just a little bit lost, maybe.
Yeah. I'm still watching the races, 17 more America races.
For angry, or just
you love racing, so you like to watch the races and what happened with the results now, and everything.
At what point during that year did you go, I'm not done, like I got to get back on the horse?
I'm not fucking leaving.
That's in 18.
Yeah, I know, but like, what point in 17 did you go, I need to race, or did you just? January 1, 18, I got a race.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I say, okay, no more. I eat more fat? Not really, like maybe 10 pounds.
Gordo.
Or 15. 15 pounds more.
No way.
Yeah, so I'm going to start feel like, okay, no more. I need to train. So I decide to back to train. Train every day, eat healthy, lost weight. And then for some reason, one day, send me a text, the Russian, the Mark and Daniel Schindler family.
Mm.
Hey, Richie, what are you doing? I say, nothing, but you want to come to Chihuahua to ride the bike? I'm a new team, so I want to race Super Sport and Super Bike with Bobby Funk in Super Bike and maybe Bryce Prince in Super Sport. But the crew chief is Rocky Starnhead.
Yep.
And he said, oh, I know a Mexican rider maybe will be good rider. And his wife sent me a text and say, you want to come to Chihuahua? I say, yes, why not? I'm ready. You know, it's like this text is in March.
Mm.
So already three months training, lost weight. Yeah. I'm ready.
Perfect timing.
So it's crazy. Like this team started the project with Bryce Prince and Bobby Fong. And then in the last moment say, okay, Richie, if you beat Bryce today, you take his...
No way. No way.
Yes.
That's what they said. At Chukwala, if you beat Bryce, it's your seat?
Yes.
So you guys raced
difficult, both. No? I think this starting January,
Just...
And yeah, I go pressure. Fast.
Have you ever saw Chukwala before then?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Before helps. With Humberto, that helps.
Wow.
And... I do maybe I remember like one that's for the lap time, 147.8, and Bryce 147.9.
Oh, wow. So point
one. Decide the team to, but I need to pay that year tires, my flights, my hotel, rent a car, and I think also pay the mechanic. I think maybe, and that's it. But yeah, it's why I back to the paddock, and then it's why Bryce also race with Tune team. I think
was
hungry, you know, like
was he angry
maybe
about the situation or
maybe
you don't know.
I don't know, that's my in my part the team tell me that. I don't know okay. what
they told him.
Yeah.
Well, we just broke the news.
Sorry Bryce, dude.
Sorry, Bryce, but
did you know his lap time or was it beforehand?
Just when finished the day.
So you had no idea during the day?
No, yes, you have, but nothing, not his birth, and then the last.
Wow,
how saucy is that?
That is crazy.
That is some pressure.
And then back to the paddock.
Super just sport. Willing to throw it away to get it. That's full gas.
Full gas.
Yeah. Wow, that is awesome. That's crazy.
That's I'm a race 18, 19 with this team.
Yeah.
And that was Kawasaki's.
R6.
R6. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe then, 3 podiums in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or 2 podiums, maybe. Finished 6th in the championship in 18, finished 5th in 19.
That's awesome. And then, the Honus thing started with Humberto again.
With Humberto again, yes.
And so how did you even know Humberto? A lot of people probably may or may not know who Humberto is, but he was brought a lot of Spanish riders to the paddock, right? A lot of Mexican riders.
Also
and
in the past, maybe motocross riders too.
Yeah.
Helps.
Didn't he help Solis as well, Benny Solis? Or no?
Yes. He worked with Benny.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know. It's just in 15, I started talking with Humberto. Hey, how are you? I'm good. What are you doing? No, racing and you need something. No, I'm good. I remember I crashed one time and I need some clip ons and something. Humberto said, I support you, no problem. How much? No, for free. It's why I'm going to start my relationship with Humberto.
Hmm.
And then, okay, I want to have a big team. It's why support me in 16. And then in 19, in the end of the year, he called me again and said, Richie, I have a project with Donos. That's from Mexico, Guadalajara. And maybe Kawasaki's, maybe Grape Support. Why do you think you want to race with us? I say, yes, why not?
Yeah. Did you have any other options at that point?
I have a contract with the Hudson Motorcycles.
Oh, team. For another year.
For another year.
Do you have to pay? Did you have to pay?
I paid some money to finish the contract, and also this team decide to retire.
Oh, so okay.
Helps also too.
Yeah.
And then back to Humberto with Ono Support.
So if not for the Honos, there was no other option with when Hudson finished.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have again the same feeling to 17. I'm starting thinking maybe done.
Yeah.
No more racing again. Mm. And then Humberto
yeah.
sent me a text. And
before we get into kind of more recent years, probably time for a little bit of a Law Tigers break.
Dude, I love it. Listen, at the end of the day, it's not if, it's when there's going to be an accident.
Shit happens.
Right? That's just what happens. So if you are in an accident, please call the ambulance, call 911, but then call 1-800-LAW-TIGERS.
America's Motorcycle Lawyers.
They will support you. It's no cost to you. And yeah, if you or someone you know is ever injured in a motorcycle accident, always call Law Tigers first. The service is at no cost to the riders, and they'll fight to get the riders taken care of and back on the road. With Law Tigers, you never ride alone.
1-800-LAW-TIGERS. Richie, you have any tech tips? You have any suggestions for people who do track days, maybe to focus on for their bikes? You have any tips?
Yeah, we have a Law Tigers tech tip.
Okay.
What's a tip that you have to offer, like some suggestion to a rider?
Maybe your number one tip for somebody to start race.
To start racing.
Or maybe. If you're doing maybe track days and you want to get faster.
Maybe try to go to Garage 8 at Chihuahua. That's a good option.
Perfect, I like that.
And of course, a small bike, maybe 200.
Start on a smaller bike, yeah.
Work your way up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Don't go out and get the
V4R.
The biggest V4R you can buy. thank you. Yeah, like we said, 1-800-LAW-TIGERS. Give those guys a call if you ever need anything. But 2020, Honos, obviously, you got on the Kawasaki, back with Grave Support. What was that like getting on the Kawasaki from the R6? Obviously, you spent quite a long time on the R6.
Yeah, honestly, when I signed the contract, I'm a little bit nervous. Nobody won with the 636. So in that moment.
Yeah, you were the first.
And I say, maybe it's no good option, but okay. For free,
yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And first test at Bottom Willow, very slow. Very slow.
Really?
Yeah. No, it wasn't like very strange, different bike compared to R6. And after that, start COVID situation.
Mm, right.
Forgot so about I'm COVID. For 3 or 4 months at home training, but nervous. Like, okay, I think maybe with the Kawasaki, no, I know won the championship. I don't know. And then finally back, they start racing in July, I think, June or something.
Yeah, something like that. That's May or June.
More America is the first more sport starting with COVID situation. And I won the first race. So I say, wow. Yeah.
Where was the first race that year?
Road America.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that the Kawasaki had some legs. It was fast.
Fast.
Yeah. But I think I remember you.
Yeah, some vibration like on the front. Always.
You could see it on TV if you're just like. And is that something you just had to?
Yeah, just adapting and pushing and adapting to this vibration and go fast. That's also, I lost so much weight that year. More like now, like maybe 6 or 7 pounds. Very, less? Very skinny, yet less.
How much do you weigh now?
145.
So you were in
135.
Wow.
That's like
so it helps a lot.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
How was it working with Graves? Because at that point you were pretty much like the main focus for Chuck and Graves, which
it's good. You know, I'm not talking really nothing with Graves, but I work with Chris Lessing.
Right.
So it's really good and really nice working with him. And yeah,
because you worked with Chris.
Yeah, I think the year
21,
yeah, the year after, but you know, still but working with
good. And the bike is really good, yeah. You know,
they did every a lot time of work.
New suspension, new exhaust, tried different clutch, especially 2020. Then yeah. In 21, no make, not yeah. The bike is like same bike full year, but in 2020, so many things, electronics, this body work, yeah.
Because in 2020 is kind of the first time I saw you, because I was in Europe and I came back, and I always was like, who is this guy? Like, because I didn't see, like, I was gone from essentially 14 until 18. So I never saw your come up. And it kind of, when I remember watching you, I remember, like, what sticks out to me is this and, like, super fast and loose. Now, is that a style you've always have? Like, have you always been kind of a looser rider where it's...
Yes, it's, a little it's bit. Weird. Especially on super sport, yes.
Just...
Yeah, on super bike, I need to change a little bit that style.
Relax a little bit.
Relax. Breaking more on the straight, you know?
Yeah.
Try to stop the bike good and then turn. Yeah, different. But yeah. On super sport, always like this.
Yeah.
And for the Kawasaki, maybe good. Because,
yeah.
You know, I won 17 races.
The one track, every lap, the back tire, like, right next to the grass. Yeah.
And using too much, you know, I try to ride, like, more a 3 bike or 300 bike and sliding and, yeah.
Yeah. What about, like, the differences between, because you raced, obviously, in Mexico, you came to the U.S., is there much different riding style coming from Mexico when you start riding in the U.S.? Like obviously the tracks are much more dangerous. So maybe you're a little more cautious in Mexico, or like
yeah,
the way you ride is a little
limitation
bit different?
In Mexico.
Yeah.
The problem is when you see the wall, you're scary. So yeah. You slow down, and this is why maybe the riders racing in Mexico don't make a big steps. Okay, you have one limit. You know, yeah. I do it on my home track, 50. Lap time, each lap, and my dad went racing in maybe 2001 with the old R6, something like 25 years later, doing 50s.
Same time.
So it's crazy. Because the track is, you have limit, no more, you know, past that limit.
You have to...
To adapt in, and that's it. And it's why maybe the level still the same every year, you know?
Yeah, because you don't get to reach your potential because...
And then the asphalt old and everything changed. Yeah. But when you come to America, maybe the break point, breaking harder here, attack more the apex, more aggressive on the throttle, better tires, better bikes, more people, you know, like more... crew chiefs and just between Mexico and America, the difference.
Do you think that?
And then when you go to Europe, it's just like crazy.
Another
you know?
Level. Yeah.
The Valencia tracks, and this is amazing.
Yeah. Do you think that having to deal with the more difficult tracks and things like that made you better when you came to the U.S. and then now you could take away, like, it's more safe, but you're used to being a little more dangerous, so
yeah,
maybe you're comfortable.
So, yeah, for sure, yes. You're riding, like, shit tracks. So I come to Road Atlanta and say, this is amazing.
This
and
is easy.
Yeah. Pushing, and you don't care about nothing, you know? Just riding.
Yeah. Do you think that... What do you think would make it easier for more Mexican riders to come to the U.S.? Obviously... rides and free rides especially, but like what would make the transition easier, I guess, do you think?
I think it's the money.
Yeah.
No, the transition is not really difficult. You doing the same thing I do in 15, that's the best option, you know, try to come. And the problem is the people thinking, okay, I'm got one race and that's it. Well, you need to demonstrate you have maybe the talent or the hungry to push and training and keep working. So you need to try to come full season.
Yeah.
But
it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. No, that makes sense for sure.
Do you think that with you kind of paving the way for Mexican riders, that has it opened up any more sponsorship for Mexican riders, either in Mexico or to be able to, I mean, obviously not to come to America because we haven't seen that, but has it opened up more either eyeballs or sponsorship money in Mexico to try to help bring the next rider through? Like, has there been more eyeballs since you've been over here? You've won a championship, you know, arguably the fastest Mexican rider in the U.S. in Moto America. Has that helped in Mexico?
Not really. Honestly, it's just different, difficult sport. But I know the young riders and the riders racing right now, the national championship, is looking to come to Moro America.
Yeah, like you've shown that it's possible.
It's like, okay, Richie is racing there, he stayed there, and Superbike, why no? Me no? You know, it's like, so I know like maybe 10 riders wants to come to Moro America to race 300 or...
Perfect.
Yeah. Now Chuala, more Mexican.
Yeah, the one guy on Ducati is very good. He rides really good.
And is that, do you, like when you go back home, do they, like are do you go to the any of the local races?
Not really. Okay. No, not really. Yeah.
It's pretty spread apart too, right? Because like even like Guadalajara is far from you,
right? Like 5 hours driving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the same problem in the U.S. It's so big.
Yeah. Right? So
it's very spread out.
I sometimes I try to go, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
So you won the championship, obviously, in 2021.
2020.
And you were the first Mexican to win a championship in the U.S. in Moto America, and probably has there been any other Mexicans to win like any championships anywhere else in the world?
No. First time.
Yeah. So
first
that's
Mexican. Yeah.
That's very big for you, and obviously for
For me, it's special. You know, represent a country and win a national championship is the American dream. You know, finally after so many years working.
What did anything come out of that from Mexico? Like, did they recognize how big of an achievement that is, or is it because motorcycle racing isn't so popular? It was like no big deal.
No, but I have a couple TV interviews important. Also, Telemundo here, Univision. Mm-hmm. So I have more interviews and more TV shows. That's it. But
do you think? Why do you think that there isn't more? Like you would think like that would be like the biggest news story, you know. I mean, obviously of like Checo, but like as far as that, there's not really so many people doing stuff outside of Mexico. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that they don't cover it more?
I don't know. It's just like these two same sports, you know, soccer, boxing, and that's it. No looking for more sports. And also the Olympics, you know, Mexican Olympics never have the good support to go to represent Mexico in good way, in the, you know, with good support and try to represent. It's just one sport, and now the F1 with Checo Perez is famous, but that's it. No, the Mexican no thinking too much about different sports like bikes or cars.
Yeah.
And you saw like overall is one representing IndyCar, like Pat O'Ward.
Right.
That's it. NASCAR, Daniel Suarez, that's it. And Richie in Moro America, and that's it.
Yeah.
Checo Perez F1. I know more Mexican riders racing different championship in cars in Spain and in Europe, but no so many. It's maybe cars and bikes and motocross and everything, maybe 20-25 Mexican riders, no more.
And do you think, like I know in other countries like Venezuela or Brazil, like a lot of times the government actually supports like the athletic division of the government, right? They actually support athletes and stuff.
Venezuela, I remember that, right? Especially, yes. No, in Mexico, nothing. Yeah.
It's so interesting, you know, you'd think, like I said, because you know, a lot of those South American countries, it's like their culture is so important to them, like in supporting people to grow and spread their country. Like you would think that there would be a bigger deal. And, you know, I hopefully in the future, I know like you work with Mission now. I assume that's like pretty special just because it's a Mexican company.
Yeah, right?
They actually get to work with the Mexican riders. Like, that's very cool.
It's really cool.
How is that
this support, you know?
How has that been working with Mr. G, right?
Juan Gonzalez.
Juan Gonzalez.
Mr. G, he's a legend.
It's really good. Love the sport, you know?
Yes.
Like you feel have the, like, honest supporting.
Yeah.
He loves racing.
Yeah, he loves racing.
How did that whole thing come together for you?
Like, why?
More
America.
Okay.
More America asking Juan.
Hey.
Why not support the Mexican wedding?
I know. We talked about that a couple of years ago. I'm like, because, you know, when we were riding together, I like literally put a list of like Mexican companies that I thought would make sense.
So many companies, you know, doing things here and in Mexico too. So like Mexico and American. But yeah, and I remember you gave me the list and why not this? Juan just text me and say it. I know you, but I know you from Mexico, so I want to support you. Like,
yeah, you would think it would have been like number one project to support Richie.
Personal sponsor. That's my personal sponsor.
Okay, so not through the team.
Support the team, but it's personal sponsor.
Mm. Is he like famous people? Pat O'Ward, Daniel Suarez. Obviously, Checo is very big, but those two other guys. Do you communicate?
No, not really.
Really? So there's no cross promotion between.
No.
I'm surprised.
I really want to see Pato, what I think is a nice person.
Yeah.
And I know Daniel Suarez raced with Trackhouse. In NASCAR.
Yeah.
So he watched MotoGP and he say, it's funny just to see another Mexican watching the MotoGP and he knows I'm racing more American, represent Mexico like him on NASCAR, you know? Yeah. So it's crazy, like, yeah.
Do we need to make that connection then?
You'd think there would be, yeah. I mean, you'd think there would be an easy way to bring it together, you know?
Yeah, like maybe I send a text like, hey, why I'm Richie and why not come one more America race?
Yeah. There you go.
No, definitely.
Yeah, Moto America would easily support that.
Yeah. No, that would be cool. I think, you know, we've talked about it, like I said, in the past before about sponsors and stuff. It just seems like, you know, when you think about marketing and the fact that you're one guy, right, with a whole country behind you, it should be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, it should be.
I think the same thing always. Yeah.
We need to find you a manager, a brand manager or something.
Yeah.
But, well, what's next for you? Obviously, we're going into the season. You haven't really did the 200, which was good, but difficult. You know, I'm sure you wanted to win.
Heartbreak is what it was.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, Daytona don't like me.
I thought this was your year.
Yeah.
But
I changed my lap record, the fastest lap,
everything
for try to win. But yeah.
Didn't work out.
And the most important for me is just, so when I finish the fuel, when I go slow to the finish line and finally cross the finish line, I say, okay, Richie, I think Daytona, the most important is win. Second or fourth or fifth or crash,
doesn't make
a difference.
Yeah.
So I say, relax, win together, lost together as a team. And I say, okay, next.
Next year. Yeah. That was still a good weekend, though, I think. Yeah,
not bad.
And
now, new supervised season, so I make a big progress on my bike. Now it's a little bit better with the swing arm, the Japanese swing arm. Is when I finish on the podium and Austin.
Okay.
And then go to Jersey, first day on dry conditions. I feel like I'm battered maybe for another podium and then start raining. So I ride the bike yesterday after almost 6 months, 7 months. So the feeling is same feeling.
Yeah.
So
that's always the best.
I hope to make a small step more and battle for the podiums. I think I need to be realistic. So I think the level is high, especially, you know, this year. Also, I think this year the full classes look like so many riders and levels. So we'll see.
And the bike is the same? No new parts for this year?
No new parts.
Okay.
Yeah, same bike.
Sometimes that's a blessing. Right, not getting new parts and being able to ride and be able to extract, you know, from the same motorcycle instead of getting a bunch of new parts. And then now your first 2-3 rounds you're going through and, you know, maybe it's not the same feeling. So at least you're FP1.
Yeah, now I checked the bike yesterday. So he starting, brake. So the bike is same bike to Austin, race 2. and let's start like this tomorrow. We'll see.
Why was there a reason why there wasn't much testing for the winter? Or
I think too much stuff in the shop.
Yeah, you know? Too much stuff going on.
I think like you lost so many time for Daytona 200, especially you have four riders. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a big project.
And then six riders this year on the Team Hammer. So that's twins, three super sport, two super bike. So difficult.
Wow, difficult. That's a lot. So that's a lot of staff.
I ask him for more.
Yeah, of
I
course.
Know maybe the budget not have extra budget to try to test in more, but I'm happy to ride the bike before this weekend just of to course. Check.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, mm-hmm. I have the same feeling or not. And little Talladega is a funny track. I feel like I'm riding my superbike on my home track.
Right. Yeah.
So true, it's funny.
It's crazy on a superbike. What do you think this year is the biggest thing that you're focusing on to try to improve? You know, obviously last year you made small improvements throughout the year and then the bike got a little bit better too. But what are you trying to adjust with your riding to improve?
I want to improve my speed on the qualifying. Okay. Try always starting in first round or second round to stay close to the front group in the first laps.
Yeah.
Like I really want to. For me, it's easier. You know, you stay with the group the three or four laps, then
the time comes a lot
easier. Then you just like this, and then you look the pit wall and six laps to go.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, why not? So, but it's very important, especially with Gagne and Bovier and these guys is doing so fast the first two laps. So that's my plan this year. Try to stay close and then why not battle for the podiums.
Is that something, sorry to cut you off, but working with Josh, I know that's something Josh is always, with everyone he works with, it seems like is like the one of the most important things is like up to speed right away.
Yes.
You know, like, that's something he talks about a lot.
So yesterday I working at home. To try to do 20 laps on my bike, but I always do like 50, no? And no, 51. Lap 10, 50. Lap 15, 49. So now when go out, I try to do 49 in lap 2, like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I ride for the first time my B bike. I have two bikes. So I race with the A bike, and I try the B bike after almost a year. Okay, I for some reason I like more the A bike, and my crew chief say try the B bike just to see if it's running.
Yeah.
And I make my fastest lap time lap 2 yesterday on the B bike.
Perfect.
With the old Schwingram with
so you go
not
back.
The Austin podium bike.
So the A bike is now the B bike or
no? Now I make for both one for this for today. For this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
So half and a half.
Okay.
Okay. I like, it's good to know, you know, these things.
Now, how hard is it for people that don't know, like Moto America Superbike, the races are pretty long. They're GP almost length. Like they're very long superbike races. How physical is it? Like, is it at the end of the race? Are you like, is it tough or are you... No problem. I mean, it's okay to be
fatigued. I think it's tough.
Yeah.
But to me, I prefer a little bit more laps.
Really?
I remember in 17, 18, Superbike doing like 22 or 23 laps. This year is only 19 or 18.
Yeah.
This is insane.
But
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Superbike is difficult. It's difficult. Especially you don't have the right setting. Yeah. Start speeding everywhere and just full throttle and spinning and you stay in the same corner like 5 hours and then next corner and it's difficult, but to me I prefer a little bit more laps and maybe my condition make some difference and make and one step more in the last 3-4 laps, you know.
Okay. Interesting.
But you train obviously a lot.
Yeah.
So I can see how that would play into it. What is your goal? You know, you won the Super Sport Championship. Obviously, you want to be more consistent. Podiums, all that stuff is great for Superbike and maybe a championship, right? What about beyond that? Like, do you want to stay in America forever? You know, obviously, at your age, you're going to be 30 next year, 29 this year. But
I'm a dreamer guy, so I want to win a Superbike Championship and Daytona 200. And I think if me won that championships or Superbike champion, maybe I'm done.
Really?
So that's my plan for the moment. Maybe I need 10 years to win a Superbike championship. I race 10 years more. One of my goals is win Superbike champion. And if me win, like, why not this year? Maybe no more racing in 25.
Wow.
So really? That's my mentality. You don't want to back it up? You?
No. I think me won one day, Superbike champion, done.
Wow. Why?
It's so many years racing. Yeah. I love the sport. I love the come to the country. I love this championship, but it's hard to train in every day, eat healthy. It's hard, you know, hard life. The people say, oh, the riders just enjoy the races and go in different states and good food and good person, sometimes privileged flights with a good sponsor, but it's difficult. So I'm tired to wake up every morning. I feel like I'm a professional racer, and you know, it's a strange feeling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's why I'm decide to, if you want the Superbike champion, stop racing.
Was that always?
But I need 20 years. Like, and maybe then I'm like Josh Hayes, you know? But Josh Hayes win like 100 races and 4 championship, but maybe, we'll see.
Yeah. Do you think...
I know I want to go back to Europe.
You
honestly,
don't?
No.
No interest.
No Superbike, no,
yeah, okay.
No more.
Yeah.
I think
that's okay.
My time passed.
Yeah. Has that always been your mindset, though? Like, when you were growing up, you're like, I just want to win one championship and then done? Or just as you've gotten older?
No, I just say, okay, I won a super sport championship. Why not Superbike champion? And that's it. But we'll see. The riders always say, I want to retire, and then...
Yeah.
15 later, Rich is racing. Yeah, keep racing.
It's hard to give up once.
And then maybe you won a championship, and then you have more money or better contract.
Exactly.
And you say, why not
one
number
more.
One on the on the bike and one more. You know? We'll see. But
okay.
I push hard to... I know it's difficult, but to win a Superbike champion one day.
We are rooting for you, for
thank
sure.
You.
Coming from those years, obviously you went from... You know, coming here in a van with your family to then like having to pay for rides or expenses and things like that. I assume now you're at the point in your career where you're not paying for anything. Hopefully you're making some money. Hopefully good
money.
How much different is your mindset? Is it still the same as when you showed up in a van, or do you feel different now because you have not so much stress about that side of things?
I think you miss something when you not have the 10 people working with you. You miss, you know, clean your stuff, help your dad to change the tires. I miss that feeling. So for me, every year and every race weekend, I'm more nervous and more stressed. I don't know why. You know, I have a big truck, big team, good bike. But every time when I close the gap with the front group and improve my lap times, I'm sleepless. it's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
The people are thinking, like, I want to be like Gagne.
Yeah.
But like you know, try to win every race weekend is difficult. So
especially.
I miss a little bit when you come with the Urban, and if you won, it's amazing. If you crash, amazing too.
Yeah.
So now for me, every time when I go faster, it's more pressure and more nervous and everything crazy.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it because it is, especially you climb the ladder.
Yeah, you have everything,
more expectation from everybody, and as the podium, you dream of getting a Superbike podium. Now you've got one, and everyone's like, okay, we need more.
Where's the win?
Where's the championship?
That's the question.
Yeah. So it's like. It's hard that we walk in this weird realm where expectation supersedes everything.
Yeah.
Like you get, it's like, it's almost like a sales guy. Like you sell something and instantly he's like, what's next? And you're like, can I enjoy it still? Like I've worked 10 years to get here. Like, you know, so I can understand that and sympathize with that. But dude,
well,
I think it's it.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I'm very interested.
We got to keep Richie on schedule. He's 1:00.
Yeah.
It's 10 after. You were a little late, so we were a little late.
Yeah.
But no, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast. you know, for me, I it's something I wanted to do for a while because I think people should get to know you more. Like I think there's a lot more to you than people get to know, unfortunately, you know. Hopefully people will enjoy this one a lot, and we'll learn some more stuff about you, and maybe we'll get to do it again after you win your race.
Win the first Superbike race.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Before, we've got one question.
Yes.
And what is your... Have you listened to the podcast ever?
Yes, a couple. I listened the Real Roberts.
Okay. Yeah. So you know what's coming? So what's your death row meal? So essentially...
You did something bad. You got stuck at the border. They wouldn't let you across. They put you in jail for the rest of your life.
And you've got one meal to eat. Drink, food, dessert. What is it?
For my entire...
Before they...
Tacos al pastor.
That's it?
Yeah.
Margarita?
Not really. I don't like drink, so let's see. Maybe shake, milkshake.
Like a protein shake?
No. No, maybe Oreo cookies and cream. Tacos al pastor is really good with pineapple.
Yeah, my favorite too.
Do you have a local spot where do you make them at home, or is it a local spot that is very...
Maybe looking the sunset on the ocean.
Do you live by the ocean?
No.
Do you have like certain spots there that are like, this is the taco place that everybody goes to, or is everybody just make their own?
No, I think maybe.
Like, do you have a favorite spot?
Yes, maybe a small place close to my house.
What's it called?
I call a Boris. That's the name for the guy. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We have to go. Okay. I heard your grandma makes good enchiladas.
Yeah, it's also good.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think, yes. Dinner with my family, enchiladas.
Enchiladas. Okay.
Well, hopefully she doesn't listen and gives you a...
with some mission tacos.
Of course.
This weekend.
You got to have mission tacos.
Before the race, burrito mission.
Yeah. Richie, it's been amazing to get to know you more. And, I'm so stoked you've been on the podcast now, and I hope everybody really takes this and gets to know you and understands where you've come from. And we're so proud to have you here in America, you know, and to represent the Mexican country and Mexico. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for everything, and good luck this weekend.
Also. You too. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao, arigato. Ciao.